had that before with Tyler, where I could just look at somebody and say, and they bail us out. It's amazing to see that. Great. Thank you to all of you guys for playing, helping us out with that. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. Before I begin reading, Omar, if you would give me a nine-volt battery. While I'm reading,
what's that?
I loaded up the battery.
Right.
You got that for you.
Hopefully it's a good
one. Because Gavis was close to our church family, close to my family, I wanted to address his death and the tragedy behind it. This isn't that word tragedy in general. From a biblical perspective, I think it's interesting when I look into the Bible that there is a lot of examples of these types of deaths in the Bible. You see, in the Bible, it's interesting because there's often a cause that's attached to the reason why a person died, even if it was. And I'm not saying that Travis was innocent. Don't misunderstand me there. That no one's truly innocent. You understand that?
Amen.
All are sinners. The wage of sin is death for all of us. And that's the reason why all of us are going to die. Because all of us are sinners.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that. But again, the accident could have been avoided. Travis died. Did cause the accident. You don't see a lot of that in the Bible. In fact, if you think about Lot's wife, one person came to my mind with Lot's wife. She died a very tragic death. She was turned into a pillar of salt. She was fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's tragic. But the reason why she was turned into a pillar of salt was because she turned and looked back. And she was told, don't turn and look back. We get it. It's tragic, it's sad, there's no doubt about that. But she was told, don't look back. She looked back and there was a consequence to what she did. I think about Nadab and Abihu that came to my mind as well. They died, they were consumed by fire from the Lord. That's what they just went to die. And it's tragic. They were the sons of Aaron. It was a tragic death. And what the reality was is they died because they offered strange fire before the Lord. That was forbidden and that was the consequence. And oftentimes in the Bible, that's there's cause and consequence. You see that all the time. There's very few people and situations in the Bible that the Bible records where it's hard to find a cause or consequence. There are a few. Abel, first human being to enter the afterlife because he was killed by his brother, but the reality was Abel didn't do anything. Rachel died when she was giving birth to Benjamin, but again, she didn't do anything. Because of sin, there is no absolute equality to life. What that means is you're not justly rewarded for the good that you do, and you're not justly rewarded for all the that we do either in this life. We see people get away with things that they shouldn't get away with. We see things happen to people that we think should happen to those people. And that's life. Now, the Bible says that the judge of the earth will do right. He will repay evil. He will recompense evil. He will take care of. He will adjust the scales as is right. He's adjusting. But in this life, not everything happens like we think it should happen. I came across a scripture, and it's an interesting one, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Here's what it says. For I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. What the Bible is saying is in life we are conditioned to think and believe that races are always won by past people. And typically, that's true. We have this fable that we always rest with, right? Tortoise and the hare. Not every race. And we continue on, and in this verse, and we think that strong people always win the battles. And that typically strong people win the battles. But not always. And we see that, again, life doesn't always work out like we expect. And we tend to think that wise people always have bread. Not always. Favor belongs to men of skill. But again, we realize life doesn't always work out that way, does it? Then one of the great truths of this passage is that men don't know their time. Am I guaranteed tomorrow? No, I'm not. But I think all of us here this morning expect for tomorrow. Come for us. I do. I'm not. But it's not guaranteed. So with that in mind, there are certain things that we should always live with. Because the thing is you're not guaranteed with it. Whatever age you're trying to go back to. Funny, we all kind of have age. None of us are thinking about, 120. the extreme length, that's much. So how should we live? I want us to go back to Ephesians chapter 9, I believe that in this verse, in these verses, we see the truth of how we should live. The first thing that we need to live with in the light of the fact that life is unpredictable is to walk circumspectly. In verse 15, the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The word circumspectly, it comes from Latin, circumference, which is to look around. Synonyms are prudent and cautious. Though circumspect implies a careful consideration of all circumstances and a desire to avoid mistakes and bad consequences. So live your life in such a way that you avoid mistakes and bad consequences. Don't be foolish. Live with wise, with wisdom. Live your life in such a way that you avoid mistakes and bad circumstances. So how do you live your life this way? What are some things that you should do? Wow, what, maybe, how do I walk circumspectly? You think, okay, I walk circumspectly, so how do we avoid mistakes? How do we avoid bad circumstances? I was going to Dave Ramsey on Friday night, he'll introduce you to a term called zeros on the end. We've all paid that tax. And in life, we make mistakes and we make choices that have bad consequences. So how do we know what this is? And again, you can look at people in life, and that's one thing that I grew up with seeing people make bad choices. That we need to walk circumspectly. Since Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, here's what he says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock, and rained the cities, the flood came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And so we see here, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so Jesus tells, hey, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And that illustrates a person who hears these sayings of mine and does. He's obedient to the word. He's obedient to what God has told him to do. And so then there's a second person that the Bible talks about. And Jesus said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Life is uncertain. Don't be afraid. I think that's going to be a bumper stick. I mean, life is uncertain. Don't be a fool. And don't do stuff that's going to end up with bad consequences. And the best way to know what to do is get in the Bible. Do what Jesus told you. Do what the Word of God tells you. That's the answer. So walk circumspectly. There's more to this passage. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16, excuse me. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I think we've all heard this verse. This phrase is mentioned in another passage of Scripture as well. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's an oft-quoted verse. It's a very interesting verse. The word redeem means to rescue from loss. So rescue time from loss. Like sum it up in one phrase, it's don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't rescue your time lost. And what we see in our whole thing is huge time. Just taking up hours and hours and hours on it. Literally to take up a life. Why do we redeem time from loss? Because the days are, the word evil means hurtful. Because the days are full of mischief, and you don't know how many days you have, don't waste time. Don't waste time. How many days you have left? The days are evil. One of the things that I thought about a lot since Travis passed away was relationships. And it's no secret that there was a time in Travis' life when he was in my life every single day. He was at my house, we had meals together, we went on adventures together, he was always in my life. Every single day. But as he got older, he went off to the Marine Corps, and as he had lunch every once in a while, and when he would come back to the Marine Corps, he would try to connect things with him. As time went on, as distance grew, the relationship changed. The truth is that people come in your life, and people go out of your life. There's no way to escape it. That's life. It's true in everything. There's only so much time to do the things that we need to do because of time and distance, some relationships. But my challenge, and I'm going to do the same, is don't let relationships fade because of waste. I get that fade, I understand, it's part of life. But not because of waste. As much as you can, but I get like tough and not enough to the past. Make the most out of the time you have, be intentional with your time. But also don't waste your time holding it. You know, you only get one shot of life, and you don't know how long that life is that you have. Don't spend it holding grudges, don't spend it being angry. Don't spend your life being bitter. Say, well, you don't know what they did to me, and I get it, it was wrong. Maybe the person that was supposed to win didn't win, or whatever the case happened in your life, and you were hurt, and you say, I want to be bitter because I have every right to be bitter. Okay, fine, but this is your life. Don't waste it. Redeem the time. No, I see so many people living their lives with bitterness, and that's a lot of them think this, well, I'm just going to be bitter for a time, I'm going to let me have my bitterness, and then I will. Sometimes it happens. Don't waste time. The days are full of mischief. Don't live with regrets. I should have said do what you need to do and redeem the time. Don't waste time. So walk circumspectly for this rule first one. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Let's look at this next verse, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord. In life, there's what we want to do, and there is what the Lord wants us to do. There is the flesh, and then there is the spirit. And these, the Bible says, these two are contrary. They're not the same. We often, you know, oftentimes, I think the biggest lie that Christians hold on to is that doing what my flesh wants is what God wants. I see Christians try to excuse them. You can't do this. There's the flesh. Know the will of God. God is sometimes an ominous thing. It's, what is the will of God for my life? Especially for young people, we want to know what this, should I be a fireman? Should I be an architect? Should I join the military? Should I go to Bible college? What should I do? How should I live my life? What's the will of God? We treat the will of God as if it only pertains to the overall direction of our life. Now, don't misunderstand me. The will of God does pertain to the overall direction of our life. One of the things I find interesting about the Bible is the Apostle Paul often said in his letters, the beginning of the letters, Paul an apostle by the will of God. Many of his letters start like that. Paul an apostle by the will of God. What he's saying is that he is an apostle because it's God's will that he is an apostle. And one of the things that we need to know in life is that what we are doing is the will of God overall. So, I think all of us should be able to say about what we do that it is the will of God.
Amen.
So, let's see. For example, gym. I use the word gym because I don't know any gyms here today. If you are a gym, I'm not speaking about you. Right? Gym, an attorney by the will of God. We should all be able to say something like this.
Yes.
Sally, a stay-at-home mom, by the will of God. If what we are doing in life cannot be said by the will of God, then we need to rethink what we're doing. And it could be anything, you know. I think that we should think, you know, I'm a nurse by the will of God. And that is fine. That's an accurate statement. We need nurses. There are nurses by the will of God. I tell you one thing that's burning my heart as we get closer and closer to tragedies is the people that respond to that. EMTs. Fire. We need some people who are EMTs by the will of God. And fire by the will of God. What they see, they respond to is angry. I actually ran into one of them at a health food store, and I overheard up in the other aisle. I overheard him asking for something that came on the pressure of the life. He's asking, what would you do? What do you see? And they were threatening to me. I hope that we can have church. We need some people to do what they do by the will of God. And there's no insignificant by the will of God, right? I mean, you can be a clerk,
amen,
at a store, or you can be a grocery clerk or a cart collector or whatever you do by the will of God. I think sometimes we think, no, you got to be a pastor by the will of God. And you do need to be a pastor by the will of God. But that doesn't mean you can't be something that God wants you to be that's not in full-time ministry. And be in
full-time ministry.
Doing what you're doing that God made you to do in that particular place. And ministry as a minister of God by the will of God is really important. But there's also the will of God that's on a more detailed It is possible to be a waitress by the will of God, yet in the moment of serving something that is not the will of God. What I mean by that is, so I'm a waitress by the will of God, but I'm being a jerk. A waiter, I guess. That's what I thought, Bill, that I'd be a jerk. I mean, to do this, or I'm mean, or I'm cruel. You may be in the overall will of God, right? And I would say this is true of a pastor. You can be a pastor by the will of God and do something that's cooler. And that's not God. And so there's two aspects of this. Yes, there's the overall will of God, and there's an immediate, everyday behavioral will. In those roles that God has for us, are you doing the will of God? You You can be, let's say, a nurse by the will of God, and God has you there to minister to people, to help people, and if you don't do what God wants you to do in those moments, then listen. That makes sense. By the will of God. God wants us to demonstrate on a moment-by-moment basis the fruit of the Spirit on a detailed level while accomplishing the overall task that he has for us, the career, I guess you could say, for us. To remind us, the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such. David, our Christ, had crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy. The reason why I wanted to read to the end of the chapter, because I heard this quote this week, I thought it was never let the spotlight on you. Greater than the light of Jesus. And that's somebody who desires to pay. We're to let the fruit of the Spirit shine, not us. This is the will of God. Being thankful for everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If God wants to do these things in every moment. And I know that's not, I'm not saying that to you. But know the will of God. And since life is short, since life is uncertain, know the will of God. By the way, what's my message this morning? If you cannot do this, I'll be uncomfortable. Read the next verse. Ephesians 5, 17, and 18. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm the message this morning. I want to go back to verse 1. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. You get the sense of what the Bible is telling you this morning? You get the idea of what these truths that God is trying to put across you are vital for life? And he's telling us, hey, wake up! Wake up! Don't live like the world lives. Don't do what the world does. Don't fall into the same traps and same pitfalls. Because yes, life is uncertain. These days are full of mischief. And just because you are a Christian and a believer in God doesn't mean like everything's going to work out rosy for you. There's joy, yes. There's peace. Yes, there's the fruit of the Spirit, yes, but that doesn't mean that you're going to live the ripe old age of whatever that you're going to live to. Christians get cancer. Christians get car accidents. Lots of stuff. Wake up. Walk circumstances. Don't do foolish stuff. Don't do stuff that's going to have bad consequences. And you know, Lord, that's a good idea. If you have to say, and what happened to me before what you're about to do, you're going to do, it's a good idea that you should be doing. Let me give you a chance. Just this morning, I saw our new mayor, Derek, welcome. With a big sign by Queen. The big sign says, basically, if you go down this trail, you go back. In so many words. I chances are you're going to get pregnant. That's what the science actually says. Be smart. Avoid safe and bad. But how many times do we as Christians, we read the Word of God, we see what the Bible says, and say, there's a lot. A lot. Need a refresher course. I drive on these roads just like you. Oh, come on in there. You know, that's why. Sure, yeah, that was your spot. I you can just learn how to merge, you would be the master. Why are you trying to put two cars in this office? One by the zipper. I have been there. Again, doesn't he have to be a pastor? I'm saying that. So are you where you're supposed to be? And then if you are where you're supposed to be, are you doing what you're supposed to do on a moment by moment? Are you ministering the Spirit of God? Are you living by the Spirit of God? Are you living the Spirit of God so that truth are you manifesting in you? So do you mind making you arise from your sleep, your box of perspective, your being time, and your holy will of God is in you. No matter how long you live, God, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges. Lord, we don't know. Good argument. But you told us how to live successfully in this life, no matter how much time. My prayer is that there's somebody here and they don't know you as their Savior. God, I pray that that's the most important decision they'll ever make. only time that they know for sure that they have to deal with that. Heavenly Father, Lord, by it appears that everybody in here knows you. So God, my desire, my prayer for myself, for everybody else in here, is that we would wake up. Right. And that we would walk. We're going to 534. The hymn number is 534. Fancy 534.
With shame.